All right, guys, how you doing? I had a lot of stories from on the road, so I try to remember them to the best of my ability, and I think I have. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you guys in a series, right? Like, I don't want to blow it all in one day. I'm not trying to tease you or anything, but I'm going to tell you fun stories. You guys are all already members, right? Right? Yeah, of course you are, by definition. About Brian Kilmeade and Greta Van Susteren. I got all these fun stories for later in the week. So, but first, let me tell you the Will Smith one. Then I'll do the Trump thing, and then I'll do American Airlines. Okay.
Okay.
So, one of the cool things that I went to in this 10-day trip was YouTube's Creator Summit. Mm-hmm. So do you know what this is? I don't think you knew, right?
No.
So it's the top 120 creators on YouTube, and they bring them together, and in a super cool event. I don't know how much I'm allowed to talk about it or not, but like, there's like people that come to speak. There's interviews. I conducted one of the interviews, and then at the end you go to Brandcast, and Brandcast is how YouTube tries to sell YouTube to advertisers, right? And this year they had one awesome fact, which was Samsung did a campaign on YouTube where they reached 40% of all millennials in one day.
What?
That's
amazing.
How is
that even possible?
I know. Uh-huh. Well, they spend a lot of money.
Right. Okay.
And a gazillion millennials are on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, YouTube's winning. One of the top Snapchat stars switched over to YouTube. Because, anyway, that's a long story about the industry. So, and Brandcast has this cool thing where you walk the red carpet and there's a bunch of kids screaming and stuff like that. And there's and people hanging out by our hotel. I don't know how they found out which hotel we were at, right?
Yep.
And so mainly they care about like the cute guys and stuff like that, not my old ass, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a couple of 17-year-old girls were like, oh my God, Cenk, we watch Young Turks every day and I feel great about it, yada, yada. And then they have some celebrities come and speak. I walked in the middle of one where they were talking about, it was somebody's manager and they were talking about her. And every comment from the manager, the person doing the interview, and the audience was like, she is a goddess who walks among us. And we're not worthy of her presence, so let's try to figure out her genius. And I was like, okay, I'm going to guess who this is, right?
Who was it?
And I guessed it right. Let's see if you can guess it.
It's a prominent YouTuber?
No. It's a celebrity.
Oh, a celebrity.
Yeah,
I need more information. That's too broad.
No, like so. He's like, well, you know, she's such a genius in how she does this. And the interviewer was like, you're right. You know, if any of us could be anything like her, it would be amazing. And everybody in the
audience. Okay, just tell me who it is. Just tell me who it is.
What is it?
Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga. It's a perfectly fine guest. No. Beyonce. I was like, I fucking knew it. Right? You got it in there? Yeah? Okay, you got it in the synapse room there? because she's the only person that people talk about in that regard,
right?
Without everybody else vomiting, right? Like normally, if you're like, oh my God, Gwyneth Paltrow, she's a goddess, and we could never be as smart as her. People are like, get the fuck out of here, right?
Yeah.
But when you say it about Beyonce, everybody's like, that's so true. It's so true. I'm like, just bring it down, okay? I got it.
Yeah.
And then like, anyway. But God bless, it was a great thing. I don't want to get into it. Again, I don't know what I'm allowed to say,
Let's move on. I'm afraid of the Beyhive, so I don't want to want to engage in this discussion at all. Like, I don't dislike her, believe me, but
believe me.
Okay.
She's tremendous.
Some of my best friends are like Beyonce.
And she's got many, many good sides. All right.
Okay.
So anyway, and then Riz Ahmed was there, the guy from Night Of and HBO. Great, fucking awesome.
He's kind of hot.
Yeah, he's there's something magnetic about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Will Smith at that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whoa, what is this? That's so cool. He came in, got interviewed, right? And so I'm like, should I go up to him? Should I not? Everybody's swarming around him. I'm like, fuck it. So now, for those of you who don't remember, we had done a segment, Anna and I did, about some like writing that Willow and Jaden had done. That's his two teenage kids.
Oh God!
And now I thought we were super gentle, and I complimented them that they're smart and they're trying and they're trying to expand their horizons, and that's what I did when I was younger, etc. But it was a little goofy, right? And so,
we made fun of them. We made fun of kids.
No, we did, but only a little bit. Like I went back and watched that video. Okay?
I know.
It was super mild.
We made fun of kids. Let's take responsibility for our actions, though. You know what I'm saying? Like.
Okay. Anyways, So Will Smith was asked in an interview. I think it was Esquire, but I don't remember.
Oh God, this hurts so bad. This hurts so. It's like reliving this torturous moment in my career. But okay, go ahead.
And they said, "Hey, you know, your kids are in the spotlight. Did they ever, you know, does it ever get bad?" And he's like, "No, never. Except this one time."
Oh God.
There's this really powerful group called the Young Turks Online, and they Willow and Jaden really liked them and looked up to them. But then one time they made fun of them, so they were really heartbroken over it.
Oh my God! Just stop. And just like, stop the story already.
Something about like Willow cried or something like that, right? And so I'm like, all right, I gotta go. And then I went and talked to him, and I'm like, hey, well, it's Cenk from the Young Turks. And he's like, oh.
Okay, what did he say? Just okay, get to it.
Jesus, is it still Jesus back there? Okay, show me the picture. Hold, moment of suspense. Oh no, what happened? Okay, here it comes. Oh, everything was fine.
Really? He was okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he said, oh, I know. He's like, look, man, it's all cool. It's all good.
God, Will Smith is so great. And I'm not just saying that because of how he handled the situation. He's just, the first time I ever encountered him in person was when you sent me to do like red carpet coverage of one of the movies that he was in. And he was so incredibly nice and personable. Like I had done a bunch of red carpets around that time. And you know, a lot of the celebrities act like celebrities. Mm-hmm. And with Will Smith, he was just like, just so kind and accessible and all that. Like I just really respect him, you know?
Yeah.
Also, Family Guy has this really great skit about Will Smith's rap songs and how like, you know, he was squeaky clean. He wouldn't rap about drugs or violence. Do you guys remember this one? Make sure you take your shoes off before you come inside the house. Like,
I'll explain why he does that in a second.
Okay, yeah. Okay. But I love Will Smith and I'm so happy that it like, you know, didn't affect him.
And I said, look, you know, we were trying to say that it, you know, and I said in the video that they're smart and I like that they're trying and you know, even if we didn't agree completely. He's like, I know, man, I know. It really is okay. And so come on, he's like, come on, let's take a picture.
Okay. Oh, so great. Okay.
Yeah, he's a great, great guy. And I mean it. I'm not like there's nothing to gain, there's no nothing, right?
Yeah.
Like I like that his kids were daring. They're daring in their clothes. They're daring in their attitude. They were daring in that writing.
Right.
It didn't quite work, right? It came from a perspective that was a little, you know, whatever. But at least they tried it, and they were smart enough to go for it, right? So anyway, two things from the Will Smith talk before the dramatic are: does he hate us or is he okay with us? And by the way, the Smiths will be fine. Right? They're in fantastic shape. So one of the things he said was that he's afraid of change. Uh-huh. He's like, every morning I wake up and I'm thinking like the world's changing underneath me. Our movie star's dead. Like, are we? And then I got to get catch up, but maybe I can't catch up. He's like, I'm thinking of starting a YouTube channel, but I'm worried I can't compete with you guys. Like,
wow.
Yeah. And so that's forward thinking of him, and it's also a little unsettling. I'm like, dude, do we ever get to calm down? Like, if you're Will Smith, I think you could take a fucking load off for a little bit.
I know, you know? But I think the hardest thing when you're a successful public figure is just stopping, right? I think that's the reason why Hillary Clinton can't stop.
Mm-hmm.
She can't stop, won't stop, unfortunately,
yeah,
right?
I know.
I think that she can't, like, she doesn't know what to do with herself, and I'm worried that I'm gonna be like that too. Where I'm like at a certain age and I can totally take a load off and enjoy my life, but I just can't stop
myself.
There's
no way you can stop yourself.
No, I can't. I already know it. I'm in a panic every day already about like, where am I in my career? Have I hit that ceiling? How am I going to break through that ceiling? Oh my God, am I falling behind? Is my career stagnant? Like every freaking day drives me crazy.
So let's take an age like 68 where you're not too old, but you're supposed to be retired. You will have 3 jobs when you're 68. That's
probably
my prediction.
Probably.
Okay.
Like, what else?
Noted for the
do?
Record. Okay. So we'll come back to it 38 years from now, and I'm going to do a told you segment.
I hope that people will want to hire me when I'm 68. Like two. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's my fear.
3 jobs for Annika Sparing when she's 68. Hear me now, quote me later. Okay, somebody's going to watch this 38 years from now in the archives and be like, holy shit, he even got that right. Okay, anyway, so last thing about Will Smith. So why is it squeaky clean? Because when he was 12, he had a book where he was writing his raps down. And he has this great grandmother, religious, kept him straight, you know, great person. And she saw it, the book, and then said to him, you know, we had so much hope because we thought you were a really smart kid. And a person who's smart can communicate things without having to degrade themselves to this kind of language. Okay, but oh well, right? And he's like, oh, that's devastating.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, all right, now I'm going to have to live up to that. And
you know what? He had the jams, man. He really did.
And yeah, and by the way, some great freaking songs.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Summertime is like awesome. You remember Summertime?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it reminds you of summertime. It really does. It's anyway. All right.
It reminds you of summertime.
Because it's called summertime. He didn't even have to curse. I would have called it fucking summertime.
Most people would.
Anyways, okay, so that's the Will Smith story. Real quick on Trump, because I know you guys did it last week, but I can't help but chime in for a second on it. Mm-hmm. So the Australia story. Mm-hmm. So they passed the Trump Care, and they're all celebrating, high-fiving, etc. And a couple hours later, he's with the Australian Prime Minister, and Trump says, you guys have better health care than we do. Now, they have universal health care, single payer. Of course, he doesn't know that. He's a fucking clown, right? So then his press person has to explain, by the way, I don't know if you guys mentioned the stats on it. We spend over $9,000 per person. They spend $4,115.
And less than currency?
Like, yeah, okay. Less than half of what we spend, better results.
Wow.
You know why? Because universal health care works. Mm-hmm. Single payer, Medicare for all. It fucking works.
I mean, think about it. Works. One of the most important things is preventative care. And think about how many people don't go to the doctor because they don't have insurance or they're afraid that they can't pay for it, right? And you can even look at other countries like Cuba, which has like insanely limited resources, obviously. And their healthcare kind of starts falling apart once you get past preventative care. Mm-hmm. But their preventative care is so good that their life expectancy is pretty competitive to ours. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And you know, Australia, you can also, if you want more insurance on top of the government provided insurance, you can get it.
Yeah.
So it's not like the nightmare scenarios where they paint that like, no, you can't get it and you only get the minimum. No, not true. So everybody gets at least a good health care.
Right.
And you can make it great if you want by getting more insurance. I was just talking to my brother-in-law who now lives in China. He's been working there for about 3 years. And he had an issue and he went and got a CAT scan. You know how much it cost? $50.
Wow.
You know what? They're robbing us fucking blind here.
Yeah, they are.
Robbing us fucking blind. Of course it can cost $50. Instead, God knows what it would, if you had no insurance and had to get a CAT scan here.
Yeah.
The amount of money you'd pay is unbelievable. Anyway, so then his spokesperson has to come out, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And
ironic.
I know. So she's like, no, I mean, he meant that he's just complimenting the prime minister because that's the nice thing to do.
Right.
And, you know, and Obamacare, it was the worst and it was trying to be one size fits all, but Australia is not one size fits all. That's why it's okay. Okay. Anyway, you see my point. Like, no, nobody sees your point. That was a miserable explanation, but fine, whatever, right? A couple of hours after she does that excuse, Trump tweets, of course the Australians have better health care than we do. Okay, no, you can't cure dumb. The guy's way, way dumber than anyone realizes. Mm-hmm. Okay, hear me now, quote me later, and you don't have to wait 38 years on this one. You can't cure dumb. Okay, Trump is going to implode because He doesn't have the mental capacity for success. Okay, and the last thing, American Airlines. Mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm. So YouTube booked me on one of the flights because I'm going to the Creator Summit. Mm-hmm. So they don't know that I got a beef with American Airlines.
Right.
So they booked me on American Airlines, okay?
Uh-huh.
And we're coming out of Miami. Remember, it was an American Airlines flight going to Miami.
Uh-huh.
It was a red eye that I got kicked off of and had all the beef and drama over, right? This one's coming out of Miami and it's late at night. It's at 10 o'clock and it's gonna land at 1 o'clock. So it's not a red eye, but it's a very similar situation. So I'm coming in and one of the flight attendants recognizes me and he's like, "Hey, Cenk, oh, it's good to see you on our flights, man. Thank you." And he's like, "But don't tape me."
Okay.
I was like, "Oh, that's funny. Yeah, don't, I'll fucking tape you right now." Anyway, so then we go to sit down, and I'm like, "Okay, all right, that's fine, it's fine." And we all get seated, and they're like, "There's a problem with the plane. We're going to request that all of you get off the plane right now. And then you'll have to wait for a new one." I'm like, "Oh my God, we're right back in the fucking suit. Remember, we had to wait for the plane."
Yes.
Okay, so we all got off the plane. Now it's like 11 o'clock at night. We're at best case scenario, we're gonna land at 2 o'clock at night if they have a plane there like that, right? I'm like, "I can't believe it. We're waiting for another fucking American Airlines plane." Okay, so. Luckily, this time it got there in like an hour and a half, which actually is pretty reasonable given the circumstances.
Okay.
Yeah, and it had a cracked windshield, our original plane. So I don't want to fly with a cracked windshield. And so it was all perfectly fine. I landed at 3 a.m, but for an hour and a half, hour and 15 minutes when we didn't know when the plane was going to come or if it was going to come. So I asked the folks, I said, "Do we know for sure there is a plane?" Right, very politely, very calmly, without taping anyone, right? And they're like, no, we don't. So you guys might have to go back and then come back in the morning and then we'd have to disperse you to all the flights.
Wow.
So it could have been a nightmare, right? Mm-hmm. But luckily they had an extra plane, they brought it in and we went to New York.
I just want to make a quick point about travel. I think I'm done for a while. No. I mean, look. For work, it's inescapable, right? But now I'm at this point where it really needs to be worth it, right? Because I'm done. I'm so tired of traveling. I hate flying. I don't enjoy it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate every part of it. I hate feeling like I'm being treated like shit. I hate being groped at the airport. I hate the delays. I hate how long it takes everyone to get off the flight. I hate the lack of overhead space. I hate the oversized luggage that people bring onto the plane. I hate every part of it. I'm so done. I don't want to go to Spain. I don't want to go to Europe. I don't want to go to a Caribbean vacation. I don't want to do anything. You know what I want to do? I want to chill in my apartment where I don't have to deal with anyone.
I'm going to go to Europe twice in the next month.
No, I would.
Two different trips. Okay.
I just.
You know how long it takes from LA to get to Europe? Anyway, so no, but that's, and I've said this 1,000 times, and we're going to wrap up soon, it is that that's part of the reason I want to be rich. Because, oh, first class, oh, please, please, so much better.
No. I mean, it's so much
because
better.
Because it gets rid of all of your problems. It gets, you don't have to worry about overhead baggage. You don't have to worry about getting off the plane last. You don't have to worry about all that shit, right? And they got warm nuts.
But you still have to deal with a lot of inconvenient truths. And I just don't want to deal with them, so.
Okay, I hear you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I can't avoid it. In this trip, I went LA to Vegas late Wednesday night, right? Spent one day in Vegas for business meetings. And then I took a red eye from Vegas to Baltimore. And the guys getting on that red eye, almost all of them looked like we were going on Spirit, right?
Oh my God. I know.
And here's who has money on a Spirit Airlines flight. No one, okay, no one. Because we all had to take it with our last dollar, right? And we're all scrounging by. Everyone on a red eye from Vegas to Baltimore on a Spirit Airlines, they all look like they had had a hard life in Vegas and that they were about to go and make it a little harder in Baltimore. And so then Baltimore, I have to get on a car, go to DC. I had meetings. I couldn't sleep because I had a meeting in the morning on Capitol Hill. I had meetings all day long, couple of days in DC, then a flight to Miami, then that flight back from Miami to New York after 2 days.
Yeah.
In New York, all those meetings, then to New Jersey, then back here. Okay, I took
I'm done.
She's done just listening to it.
It's stressing me out just listening to it.
All right, guys. Much love. We'll see you tomorrow.